Today, Morning Edition begins Present at the Creation, a new NPR series exploring the origins of a variety of American cultural landmarks, from Carnegie Hall to Levi's Jeans, Perry Mason to Mad Magazine. A panel of scholars and artists was asked to review a list of cultural landmarks. To launch the series, five of the panelists picked a favorite American icon and explained why they liked it.
This is Naomi Izuka, and I'm a playwright. For me, the Hollywood sign is about as iconic as you can get. It conjures up every movie I ever saw, the face of every movie star I can think of from Buster Keaton onwards. It's this embodiment of all that is Hollywood. And at the same time, you know, I see that sign and I think about all these people who arrive in L.A. hoping to make a name for themselves and not making it. Like that young actress in the 1930s, I guess it was, who actually jumped off one of the letters, I don't know which one, and died. But the thing about the Hollywood sign, and this is a thing, you'll be driving up in the hills above L.A. and you'll turn a corner and suddenly there's one of these giant letters looming above you and it feels like you're actually pretty close to it. But in fact, it's impossible to get right up to it. It's completely fenced off and inaccessible, which is, I guess, in its own way appropriate or at least telling.
Hooray for Hollywood! You may be homely in your neighborhood.
Be an actor, see Mr. Factor, you make your kisser look good.
Fill out and try your luck, you may be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood!
This is Lola's Eric Eli, and I write a column for the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. And I want to talk about the French Quarter, one of the real icons of American architectural history. I grew up in New Orleans in the 1970s, and as a little boy, the French Quarter was like my amusement park. So we would go there because the guys who were at the door at the strip clubs would open them up slightly so we could see the naked ladies, and because we'd play pinball or buy comic books. Or sometimes we'd go and eat Lucky Dog hot dogs or get the greasy shrimp and port they were selling on Bourbon Street, even though we had better food cooked at home. Of course, since then, I've traveled away from New Orleans, and I've been to Atlanta and Disney World and to New Jersey and to Six Flags. And I've seen all those places that folks pay a lot of money to create in order to entice you there. I realize now that the architecture in the French Quarter, its courtyards and its balconies, and the feeling of being in that old place is something that can't be bought and can't be sold and can't be so easily replicated, even at a time when folks spend a lot of money to figure out exactly how to do it.
This is Trina Turk. I'm a fashion designer in Los Angeles. And the printed t-shirt is so important to American pop culture because just think how dismal it would be if there were no concert t-shirts, marathon t-shirts, tourist t-shirts, film festival and museum t-shirts, or slogan t-shirts like Keep on Trucking, I'm with Stupid, my parents went to Florida and bought me this lousy t-shirt. And now, especially the I Love New York t-shirt. It could even be argued that the reason why the election was so close last year was because neither side had a cool t-shirt.
I'm George Holt, and I'm the director of public programs at the North Carolina Museum of Art. One of my all-time favorite paintings is Edward Hopper's Nighthawks. Hopper was the first artist that really got to me. Before I discovered him, art seemed mostly about art. But Hopper's work somehow cut to a deeper reality that I felt I'd experienced but couldn't put into words. This amazing picture confirmed that it was Hopper's way with light that drew me to his work. There's an undeniable spiritual quality to it that reveals the wonder in even the most commonplace. Some see themes of melancholy and alienation in his art. Hopper himself said, "The loneliness thing is overdone."
I'm Will Hermes from Spin Magazine, and I've always been obsessed with the Roadrunner,
who to me was like this embodiment of the American lust for the highway and the freedom that it supposedly represents, or maybe just this general infatuation we have with speed. You have this hyperactive little bird who just couldn't be happier than when he's wailing down the road. And he's not that smart, really, but because he's so fast, he's almost totally invulnerable. Any trouble he gets in with Wile E. Coyote and all of his Acme Corporation war toys, the Roadrunner just goes, meep, meep, and bolts down that endless road in a little puff of dust. And I distinctly remember looking out the window of my junior high school classroom at the Long Island Expressway, and how I daydream about meep-meeping out of there towards some mysterious destination 3 or 4 exits away, and leaving that little puff of dust in my wake.
Meep, meep. Meep, meep.
A writer, a museum director, a fashion designer, a newspaper columnist, and a playwright. Some of the people who helped identify a few of the American cultural icons Morning Edition will be exploring Mondays throughout the year. Next week, the story behind Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven.
He early on decided that he wanted the narrator of the poem to interact with an animal, an unthinking beast. And an owl seemed to be the first thing that came to mind because owls are thought of being wise. But owls don't speak, so that didn't really work very well because Poe knew that he wanted it to speak and at least to say nevermore.
There's more on how these American icons were chosen and photos on the website, npr.org.